Well, good morning and welcome to Victory Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us online this morning. We're glad that you can be here with us in this way, and we look forward to having a good time in the Word of God and in song today. So I invite you to join us with your Bible and also with singing in the congregational songs this morning. All right, so first of all, we're going to take our Bible for a scripture reading to the book of Revelation and chapter 11. So we continue here in our series through the book of Revelation, the revelation of God. We're going to read the first four verses of chapter 11. And the Bible says here, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God, and the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread under foot 42 months. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees, and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth." May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. So we continue in this important end time book. God gives us a lot of detail about these end times. And so in this chapter, we're going to be trying to get through the chapter here this morning, talking about many things, but one of them being God's two witnesses. My two witnesses, Revelation chapter 11. As we come to this spot, we really are coming to the middle of the tribulation, entering the second half. Now, the tribulation period, of course, is delineated in the Bible here as 7 years, 7 literal years, a week of years. And so when we come into the middle, we're 3.5 years in and 3.5 years to go. And we're going to see some of that detail pointed out here in this chapter. We've read the first four verses of chapter 11, and let's go to the Lord in prayer right now and just ask him for his help as we study this passage. Father, we do look to you, recognizing that you are our teacher, that it is the Holy Spirit that illuminates our hearts. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us through these difficult passages, through these very perilous times that we read about. Lord, help us to glean the truth and make right and good application to our lives. Father, we pray that if there's anyone joining us right now this morning or even listening to this recording later on, that if there's anyone who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray that they would recognize their sinful condition and that they would see that Jesus is the only way of salvation, that he gave his life for them. And I pray that today might be the day that they call on the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and are saved. Thank you for that promise that whosoever will may come. Lord, we lift that need up to you, and we pray for our community once again, that you would not only work in terms of ministering health during these challenging times, but Lord, that you would bring us into a place of spiritual health. Lord, that you would revive us again, as the verse from the scripture speaks, revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee. Lord, we pray for this here this morning, and we pray for your people across this land, that you would help us to stand true for the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. My two witnesses. Getting started here in the in the chapter, John is told to measure the temple of God. An interesting thing here is we find a number of indications that there will be a literal temple built in Jerusalem. And at this time, the old temple site in Jerusalem is where I believe there's the Dome of the Rock in the old city of Jerusalem there. And there's also, I believe, a Muslim mosque in that region. And so I don't know if the temple is going to be built in that exact location, but we can see clearly that there will be a literal temple built and functioning during the tribulation period. So obviously things can be built quite rapidly, but that's something to keep in mind of God's continued work in the Holy Land, continued work through the Jewish people, and we find some reference here in these first two chapters, or first few verses, I mean, of chapter 11. So verse 1, "And there was given me a rod, a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein." So John is given the task of measuring this temple. God really wants him to check it out, to survey it. And just the temple proper, not the outer court, he says in verse 2, that's given unto the Gentiles. So he's challenging John, telling John to go and measure the temple. Now, as we talked in the previous chapter, in the previous message, we talked about how there is time no longer, chapter 10, verse 6, where time is up and God is going to retake the earth, and he's given the eviction order. We can see the survey of the temple here. And often before something is reclaimed, before something is foreclosed on, taken over, it's surveyed, it's checked out, it's measured, it's observed with survey. And so we can see that happening here, and I think that's just some of what the detail is for John to go and measure the temple. Obviously, God, in his infinite knowledge, doesn't need John to go do this for him. God knows the measurements of the temple that was built, that will be built, but he wants John to really check it out. I want you to notice a few more verses as we think about what's said here. And so I'll read verse 2, and then we'll look at some scriptures in Daniel. So verse 2, it says, "But the court which is without the temple leave out, and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall be tread under foot 42 months. So here we see some of the timing information. We see the 42 months that the holy city, it says, will be tread underfoot. All right, it's going to be besieged. And so John learns of this, how the holy city will be besieged here, 42 months. 42 months is 3.5 years of time. And that's why I believe we're entering into the second half of the tribulation. We have some indications along this line. There's also going to be some more references to time like this, approximate 3.5 year period of time. So 42 months is referenced here, that Jerusalem is going to be besieged, that holy city, the literal city of Jerusalem on planet Earth. So let's notice what the Bible says in the prophecies of Daniel. We'll look at a few very quickly. So in Daniel, in the Old Testament, right after Ezekiel, you'll find Daniel. Let's go to chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. Noticing verse 1, the Bible says, "And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, and some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. And so here we see some references to the tribulation period, to the resurrection as well. In verse 1, it says, there shall be a time of trouble such as never was. And so let's skip down now also to verse number 9. And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed till the time of the end. Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time, now this is kind of the key verse that I wanted to point out, so take note of verse 11 here. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. So that's 1,290 days that God gives here. From the time it says that the sacrifice shall be taken away. So, understanding that there's going to be a literal temple in Jerusalem, a Jewish temple where sacrifices are going to be given, where it's going to be fully functional in that sense of like the Old Testament functionality. And there's going to be sacrifices given there in God's name. And it tells us that those sacrifices will cease because of this abomination that maketh desolate. Now let's look at another scripture. In chapter 9 of Daniel, so just back a little bit, chapter 9, noticing verse 27. Daniel 9, verse 27. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. I believe this is a reference to that week of years, Daniel's 70th week, which is the 7 years of tribulation, that time of great trouble that we've been studying here. And so verse 27, and he shall confirm the covenant. And the he that's going to confirm this covenant is speaking of the Antichrist. I believe that's pretty clear from the passage here. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week, in the midst of a week is 3.5, in this case it's a week of years, so 3.5 years, right in the middle of the week, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. So we have here a reference to that compares with the measuring of the temple. God wants us to understand that there is going to be a literal temple in Jerusalem during the tribulation period. And I'd like to show you another verse in the New Testament, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll cruise over there, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. We'll jump in, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 2. That ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Speaking of his second coming, when he comes to rule and reign, when the Lord Jesus comes. And so, don't be shaken. You know, that day's not here yet. And then he gives us some more information. Noticing verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, speaking of the second coming of Christ, not the rapture, the second coming, which is at the end of the tribulation, when Christ literally comes, seen by everyone, rules and reigns with a rod of iron, sets up his earthly kingdom, all of those things. That's the day of the Lord, the day of Christ. Verse 3, I'll read again, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. So this abomination that we talked about in Daniel that was prophesied in the end times, this is what this is talking about here. He's going to sit in the temple of God. He's going to show himself as if he is God. He's going to put himself in the place of God. The Antichrist is who we are seeing here. All right? He is a wicked person. Notice verse 8 of your 2 Thessalonians passage. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him, this wicked one, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. So this wicked one, this Antichrist, the Antichrist, is going to set himself up in the temple of God in Jerusalem. He is going to bring great abomination upon the holy things there. And the scripture references this. And this is happening in the midst of the week in this seven-year time of the tribulation. All right? Let's notice in the book of Matthew, one more reference to this, and then we'll move on. But the book of Matthew, I just want to connect some scriptures and see some things here for you. Matthew 24, and we'll begin with verse 14. Now, in the weeks past, we talked about the 144,000 Jewish evangelists that God would raise up in the really the first half of the tribulation period. They would be preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and I believe right here in Matthew 24, verse 14, we have a reference to them, the 144,000 Jewish evangelists, and by their ministry, many people are going to be saved. Many people are going to believe on Jesus as their Messiah, as their Savior. So verse 14, "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand." So this is talking about that wicked one entering into the temple of God in Jerusalem, where holy things are, in the Holy of Holies, where sacrifice is made, and he is going to bring unholy, ungodliness to that place. He's going to set himself up as God. And notice verse 16. It tells us these words. It says, "Let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let them which be on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house." So this is going to be a horrific time in Jerusalem. And that's where these prophecies come in context here, is that this is when it is time to flee into the mountains, because the trouble in Jerusalem, the abomination of desolation set up in the temple in Jerusalem, is going to be horrific. And so God says, flee into the mountains. Verse 17, let him that is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Don't go back into your house. Just get out of town. Flee. And it's talking about this time period. Notice verse 18, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. I mean, don't bother coming home for anything in this specific time. Notice, I'll skip down to verse 21. "For then shall be great tribulation." Speaking of the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, is spoken of as great tribulation because it intensifies in many, many ways. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." So this is going to be the greatest horrific tribulation of all time that ever has come and ever will come. And that can be talking about nothing more than this tribulation period, and specifically, I believe, the last 3.5 years of Daniel's seven-year 70th week. All right? So there's a few insights as we think about what's spoken here in our chapter in Revelation 11. So let's go back over here. Revelation 11. So John's told to measure the temple in Jerusalem. He's told in verse 2 that it's going to be trodden underfoot 3.5 years, 42 months. And now we come into verse 3, Revelation 11, verse 3. And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. All right? Their prophecy time period is given here directly in the days. All right? 1,260 days is what this works out to. Three score, a score is 20, and so you have the 1,260 days. It says here in verse 4, these two witnesses are the olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. So my two witnesses, we see again God's mercy in the midst of some of the most horrific times that will ever come on planet Earth. God's two witnesses. Notice here on the on our slide here with timeline of some of these events, just want to draw your attention to the fact of those 7 years of tribulation you see just to the right-hand side there of your screen. That those 7 years of tribulation, we're right in the middle of that right now. The rapture took place at the beginning of the tribulation, or took place and then the tribulation started. And we're right now in the middle of the tribulation. The church is not here on planet Earth, but God is still working. He's still saving people. The 144 Jewish evangelists went out and saw many people saved, and now God is raising up these two special witnesses, two very special witnesses. And so we want to understand a little bit about these two witnesses. First of all, I would note that there are many similarities of these two witnesses to the ministry of Moses and Elijah. I don't know if these two witnesses are Moses and Elijah. They may very well be, but there's undeniable a fact that there's many similarities, such as Elijah called fire down from heaven. Elijah, because of the very horrible situation in the nation, he prayed for drought, and for I believe it was 3.5 years, if my memory serves me right, there was drought. That's interesting. That's very close to the time period of the ministry here. And so Elijah, in his earthly ministry, recorded in the Old Testament, had these things were part of his ministry. And then Moses, of course, unleashed the plagues upon Egypt to deliver God's people. And these two witnesses are going to be unleashing plagues as well. One of them being turning water into blood. Which Moses did, I believe, on the third plague in Egypt. So there's some similarities to there. I want you to notice, first of all, the length of their ministry, these two witnesses. The length of their ministry. It is for 1,260 days. Okay? So approximately 3.5 years. Really, if you use the lunar month, it is 3.5 years. The 30-day month. So you can see the time frame of their ministry in the last half of the tribulation period. We can see the nature of their ministry. The nature of their ministry. It is to prophesy. Notice what it says here in verse 3. I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. So prophesy. To prophesy means to speak forth God's truth. And they are going to speak forth God's truth. Their ministry appears to be more closely in vicinity to Jerusalem, perhaps in the Holy Land there. Maybe not all over the earth. Although by means of obviously the the news, the ability to communicate worldwide is definitely a factor, and so their message will be communicated farther, and maybe they will travel more. I mean, 3.5 years, they may very well. I'm not sure, but one of the facts is they will be preaching the Word of God, prophesying, speaking forth God's truth, and warning people of the wrath of God, warning people and calling people to turn to the Lord. And so, preaching God's truth. I want you to notice their clothing, which gives some indication of the nature of their ministry. They're clothed in sackcloth. Their clothing is very humble and sorrowful. Often in Bible times, when people put on sackcloth, they were grieving great loss. They were mourning, and these two witnesses are dressed. They're not in royal kingly apparel or anything such like that. They are in very sad clothing, very humble clothing. And so that's a nature of their ministry. It's in humility. It's in humble service to God. And so the two witnesses go out preaching. I also want you to notice that these two witnesses, their ministry is judgmental in nature. It's judgmental. Notice verse 5. It says, if any man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These two witnesses can spew fire from their mouth. Now, is that, it seems to be literal. That's my gathering here. It destroys, it kills their enemies. Now, is it the power of the Word of God? Is it literal fire, like a dragon breathing fire? I'm not sure exactly, but it gets the job done. And any of their enemies, anyone who threatens them or tries to hurt them, they will be killed, the Bible says, in this manner. And so Elijah called fire down from heaven on some of his enemies. And of course, in the church age, this is not God's plan, but we can see in this intense time, God gives and wants these two witnesses to defend themselves from attack in this manner, and they do, they will. All right, so judgmental. Notice also verse 6, these have power to shut heaven that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. So in the time here of their ministry on planet Earth, they have the power to cause it not to rain, and have power over waters to turn them to blood and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will. So they have a huge arsenal of things to get people's attention. I mean, that's why Elijah, in his earthly ministry, that's why he prayed that it wouldn't rain on the earth, and it rained not for 3.5 years, was because he was grieved for the sins of the nation, and he wanted people to turn to God. And so I have to believe that the goal here is similar, that they, to get people's attention, to destroy adversaries, but also to bring people to soberness. Their ministry of these two witnesses. We see the nature of it. I want you also to notice the authority of their ministry. We saw this in verse 4. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Now, there's a reference here to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 14. Zechariah 4, verse 14. In fact, I'm just going to flip over there. It's not far back from Matthew. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 14. In fact, while I'm here, I might just read beginning with verse 11. Then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves. And he answered me and said, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then said he, These are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Consider their authority. Consider the fact of who these witnesses are. Very, very special. These anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. I noticed something interesting here as I read, as I was studying here this passage the other day. It says here in verse 12, in the middle to the end of the verse, it says that these two witnesses that through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves. It seems to be a reference, just like the power to live the Christian life comes from the Holy Spirit, and we are to be empty of self and filled with Him, and to empty ourselves for Him, to spend and be spent for the Lord Jesus. These two witnesses, these very special witnesses that God raises up, will be not only coming in the authority of the Lord, but they will be giving of themselves in service to the King of Kings. Very special servants being spent for the Lord's sake for this time in history, this time yet to come. And we are reminded of God's mercy yet again in this great tribulation period. In all of the chaos and judgment and trouble that is taking place on planet Earth during this time, God's mercy is there. Not only the 144,000 Jewish evangelists in the first half, but now these two very important, special witnesses of the Lord. And so consider the mercy of God through all this and their length of ministry through this time. All right? We notice the protection of their ministry as we think a little further here. The protection of their ministry. God's protection is upon them. And that's what verse 7 and 8 references. It says, And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So, understand that they are protected by God. They are given these special tools by God so that their ministry will be 1,260 days long, right? We see that there was a lot of hatred mounting against them, and God gave them some very powerful tools to defend themselves and to show God's mighty power, so that they might keep preaching, so that they might continue proclaiming God's truth. And that's what they do until, verse 7 says, until the time that their testimony is finished, right? And then the beast, the Bible says, that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. So they're going to be killed. These two witnesses at the end of their ministry are going to be killed in the streets of Jerusalem. Verse 8 says, And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. So think about some of the abominations that God is pointing out here. The sexual perversion, the very perversion of the core of God's design of mankind and his sexuality. We see God says this is one of the corruptions of this great city, which is very corrupt. It is spiritually like Sodom. And it's like Egypt. The corruption of worshiping false gods, worshiping all kinds of things, including the sun, the moon, the stars, all of this wicked idolatry. This great city was like that. And God says spiritually, it was had many similarities. So notice their dead bodies, of these two faithful witnesses, very special servants of God for this time in to come, they are killed after their ministry is completed. Where also our Lord was crucified, the last part of verse 8 says. So that makes it very clear what city we're talking about, this great city. It is Jerusalem, the literal city of Jerusalem where Jesus died on the cross. All right, just outside the city. And so their dead bodies are going to lie in the street. Verse 9 says, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies 3 days and a half. I believe that's literal, 3 days and a half. And shall not suffer their dead bodies to be put in graves. So here, think of the hatred, the disdain towards these awesome, faithful servants of God. They are killed by the beast from the bottomless pit, from hell. And they're lying there in the street, and the people prevent them from having a proper burial. They're like, nah, let them lie. Let them rot there. There's hatred. There's disdain, not only towards God's servants, but ultimately toward the true and living God. So consider that. Also, there's celebrations. Verse 10 tells us, not only did they prevent them from a proper burial, but in verse 10, they celebrate. Woohoo! These witnesses are dead, and they send gifts to one another. And verse 10, and they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them, and make merry, and shall send gifts to one another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwell on the earth. Two faithful servants that in a very chaotic time preached the truth of God, stood firm for the Lord. Obviously to those who fought against them, there was torment, there was affliction for the intent to get people's attention, to wake up, to turn to God. But people harden their hearts, and they hate God. They shake their fists in God's face, and they curse God's name. And I'll tell you what, we need to understand the hatred there is towards the true and living God. There are not just people who say, no, I don't want Jesus as my Savior. You know, I don't want to accept Him some other time. No, there's people who are hardened in their sin. They are filthy wicked from the core of their being. And sadly we see a significant amount of that nature even in our own nation, in this generation, where there is such a disdain for that which is right and good, and it's the calling of good things evil, and the calling of evil good, and the debauchery of the human heart. We see the picture painted here of the gruesome heart of wicked man. All right, so their bodies lay there. They send gifts in celebration to one another, the people on planet Earth do. And then it says in verse 11, and after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. So God raises these two witnesses. I mean, here they've lain in the city street for 3.5 days, and all of a sudden, the spirit of life from God, that's where the spirit of life comes from, enters into them, and they stand up, and there's great fear. Boy, I wish they would have had fear before this, right? Wish they would have feared the message that these men, these faithful servants, preached for 3.5 years. How many faithful servants of God do we have today who preach and proclaim in pulpits and online? And not everyone, but there are many faithful proclaimers of God's message. And how many give attention? How many turn to God? It's sad. Many who reject. But you know what? Great fear comes upon all of the people in this time. And verse 12 says, and they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, so everybody hears this booming voice from heaven, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. One-tenth of Jerusalem falls in this earthquake. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. 7,000 people are killed in that earthquake. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. They glorified God. The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. We'll have to, I wanted to get to the end of the chapter, but time will not permit us. Time is no longer. But you know what? A horrific earthquake here at the ascension, or after the ascension of these two faithful witnesses. What a striking time. And people know who these witnesses serve. People know that the true and living God is in control. And they give him glory, those who are yet alive. The remnant which are affrighted give glory to the God of heaven. They know who should be worshipped. They know who should be praised. You know, in the heart of man, there is the inner testament that God put there, that there is a God, and that we are accountable. We are creatures created in the image of God. And, you know, if you're listening this morning online, these are some challenging passages, a little unusual, you know, some interesting, exciting things that take place. And these are real things. This is not imagination. This is reality. This is what will happen on planet Earth. Could be in just a few short years. And so how is it with you? Have you made peace with God? Have you turned to God? Are you, if you are saved, if you've trusted Christ, are you serving him faithfully? May God help us to recognize that today is the day which God has put us on this earth, and today is the day to serve the true and living God. Let us not get caught up with the menial things. Not that there's things that we need to do, obviously, basic responsibilities, but what I mean is, let's not get distracted from the main thing, from serving God and living for Christ and being a witness for Jesus, for there are souls that need to be saved. These two servants of God were called witnesses. God said, "My two witnesses." I know you're not these and I'm not these, but are you a witness nonetheless? For God has raised us in this time to be a faithful witness. He's called us to bring people to Jesus. And so I want to encourage you to live deliberately for the Lord.